Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Drop your shoulders, take a breath, tune into how you feel, because it's time to stretch. I'm Sinead O'Moore, and this season is here because of the support of Vitabiotics, my season 4 sponsor. From pregnant care to well kid, well woman, and well man, they have a product range to support us throughout every stretch of life. Co-founder of The Head Plan and spreader of good vibes, Denise Kenny Byrne, is this week's guest on Stretch Marks. Denise is a qualified life and wellness coach, meditation teacher, and ambitious businesswoman, and her journey to motherhood has not been without challenge. It has not always gone to plan. In 2019, 2 days after their honeymoon, Denise's husband, Kieran, was diagnosed with cancer, and conversations about fertility treatments had to start straight away. Between then and now, so much has happened. Treatment, a new life plan, a business idea that grew and grew, and behind it all, a couple navigating IVF, uncertainty, hope, and a vision. That vision became a reality this time last year when Denise's IVF cycle was successful and Charlotte was conceived. We talk about that moment and her unexpectedly concerning entry into the world. C-section, breastfeeding, sleep deprivation, hormones rebalancing, breakdowns, and business growth. This episode could be a whole series. We covered so many examples of being stretched. But the greatest lesson I took of all is that we are all moving forward and we need to love and nurture the women that we are becoming. Denise, thank you so much for joining me on Stretch Marks podcast. We are here by the good grace of grannies.
Yes. God bless them.
Two successful women in our 30s trying our best to be entrepreneurs. The reality, we're here for the good grace of grannies.
Yeah, exactly.
Minding our two babs downstairs.
Yeah.
This episode could be about so many things. I think we could do a whole series of every stretch that you have actually navigated. Mm. We could be talking about the journey to your fertility journey, the journey to meeting her, your birth journey. Mm. Quite a moment, quite a stretch. Yeah. We could be talking about your postpartum days and how you're navigating those and the joy and the depletion and the hormones and the boobs. And we could be talking about how you're building Head Plan and doing it for her, for you, and trying to make that work. And I don't even know where to base this episode on, because you have just covered so much in such a short space of time. Are you spinning?
I am spinning, but spinning while my feet are on the ground, if that makes sense. So I'm aware of the spinning. That's the most important thing for me. I feel like if anything I've learned over those stretches that you just said is just to keep your feet on the ground and do the things that keep your feet on the ground. But yes, it is. It's slightly mad at the moment.
It's been quite a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, she's 4 months now.
She's 4 months and we're smack bang in sleep progression. I'm experiencing a huge hormone dip. Work is ramping up and She is an absolute joy, but the known apps during the day, honestly, I'm finding the daytime really, really tough and such a juggle with work. I feel like previously when she was napping and I was getting back into work, I was like, okay, I've got 2 hours now. But now I feel like she naps. I was talking to my sister about this yesterday and I feel like Annika Rice as soon as she closes her eyes, because I'm like, okay, let's go. Don't talk to me. I have so much to get done. But like, it's just not. I just don't own my time anymore. And that's such an adjustment, isn't it?
It is, when you've lived your life in a very controlling, and I mean this in a positive way, but in a controlling capacity, you know, you feel empowered. You feel like and especially with your work, you write out your day, you write it down and you make it happen. Babies do not care that you've written it down. They see that page and they just get their crayon and they rip it all over it. Yeah. Like, your plan is no longer their plan, even though your work is the head plan. How are you like feeling about that? Do you think it'll influence actually your work and how you approach what people need?
I feel like, I know this sounds odd, but I feel like it actually is making me a little bit more productive and aware of the time that I do have. I always was a planner. I always planned out my day the night before, but now it's another level because you're planning someone else into your plan as well. So I know when I have to get my mom over, we're going to be interviewing childminders to help me a little bit more in September when I finish my faux maternity leave. So there's definitely, I do feel like I'm more productive because the plan includes her and includes the minding and I'm getting things done. But when I don't have a childminder or someone help me, like I'm full-time Lottie's mom, and I'm okay with that, but it can be difficult because the head plan is also my baby and I'm used to spending so much time with it and the team are amazing, but I'm still so involved in every aspect of the business, like what posts go out on Instagram, the community app, what's being pushed in there, the blog posts every week, the new products on the way, retail that we're just about to launch, like all the business expansion plans. So it's a lot. There's a lot going on.
Can you believe you're here?
No, in so many ways, I can't from a business perspective. Sometimes I can't believe Lottie's even here. I'll interchange between Lottie and Charlotte throughout this pod. I still haven't landed on one. I love both. But it took us a long time to get here in every sense of the words, to land in this business, to go through IVF, for Lottie to be here in general, to be in good health and well and grounded, like I said, like it's taken a lot to get here.
I know you say she's 4 months, but I think people forget, really, you've been at this for a year. You know, we need to build in to our bodies that there was the getting here.
Yeah.
Like, what was life even like a year ago?
Yeah, like even beyond that, I'd say, because I was actually doing IVF and it's a journey in itself. So our IVF journey started a little bit differently because Ciarán obviously fell ill 2 days after our honeymoon and it was straight away from diagnosis nearly within the same breath. The doctor asked if we had children because the treatment he was about to embark on wouldn't allow us to conceive naturally. So the next day after diagnosis, he went over to the Rotunda to sperm bank. So that's nearly where our journey started, even though the idea of children was totally put on hold because we were concentrating on him getting better. But he obviously got better, thank God. He's in really good health. But our IVF journey started, I started appointments in 2020. And I did my first round in 21. And that didn't really go to plan. And I changed, there was a few clinic changes, a few doctor changes. And I started this round in February, the round that thank God, gave us Lottie in February 22. I took a break after it because it's just the way my body works. I just needed to take a break after it, and then went back for transfer this time last year. But there's so many drugs and everything involved to get to even transfer in August. So like, I've been on this, I feel like I've been on this for so long.
It's been, and remember that when you are saying you're having this hormonal dip.
Yeah.
You know, because it really, it's a constant readjustment for us.
Yeah. But
to have gone through cycles of IVF and everything
artificial hormone pumping for like weeks and weeks.
You know, it's been a long time for your system, and it's not even back to base because there's all the breastfeeding hormones, stress hormones,
yeah,
you know, lack of sleep hormones.
Yeah.
You're not back at base. So no. and that's, I think, part of the message that I always want to convey in this podcast. Yeah. Like, we need to stop trying to meet ourselves where we were.
Yes. And I feel like I actually touched on this on my own Instagram. I went to an event. I hadn't been to an event in so long. And, you know, like people, like from the best intentions, I might add, were saying, oh, are you back to yourself? And I was like, no.
Who's she?
You know what? Yeah. Do you know what? I was actually talking to Ciarán about it. Like, society are obsessed with this like bounce back. And I was like, it's about the bounce forward. Like, we're never going to bounce back to the way we were. It's about bouncing into this new version of yourself that is embracing this new chapter in life. Like, we get really hung up on, I don't feel like myself. Like, you're different every, like, you wake up every day. All you have is the day in front of you. You can bring the best version of yourself to the day ahead. Like, it doesn't have to feel like the way it felt when you were 20, 25, 30, 35, pre-kids. Do you know?
It's a really hard mindset shift. Like, I still have grief around the person I miss, the life that I, like, the moments that I miss, the independence, the spontaneity, the version of myself that I was. And it took a long time to kind of learn to accept and meet me where I am at. And to see actually that growth doesn't happen unless we are willing to really stretch ourselves out of that comfort zone. And I mean that by like stretching our love, our capacity for what we can handle and take care of and be responsible for. Like, all of those things are stretching us to become such amazing women.
Mm.
And if we could honor and celebrate our present and future selves as much as we hold like that pregnant self on that pedestal of, you know, like from a body and a physical perspective, from a self-care and taking, like, everybody wants to take care of you. And I always felt so much worse when actually I was supposed to act as though motherhood had taken nothing out of me.
Yeah.
You know, as the years went on, sure, she's grand. No, I'm drowning now, please. Thank you very much.
And Sinead, you know, I think you cover such important topics on this pod because especially in the online world where so many of us live, it's nearly as damaging as seeing a photoshopped bikini picture as seeing a mother perceived to have all her shit together and the house is so clean and their child is so well behaved and their child sleeps and it's a lot. So I think these honest, frank conversations of, do you know what? I absolutely love motherhood, but it's really hard. It's really hard.
Especially when you are trying to also do something else with life. I find motherhood for me is at its best when I have told myself to stop, but I'm really bad at that. Like, when the multitasking and the juggling kicks in, that's when the kind of the wheels fall off the cart, I think. And you are like, you've such expansion ahead of you. And, you know, you can see the growth in the business and you can see how it's just gaining so much momentum. And it's exactly at the same time that Charlotte came into your life.
Yeah.
Like, as you said, like, you have been on such a journey on both, and it's kind of like they're both running parallel.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's wild because I felt like the IVF and even the pregnancy to some extent, we did pull back a lot, very mindfully so, because we were really like, you know, like,
you don't know
what's priority. Yeah. But when, like, when people see what's coming for the head plan, particularly the next 6 months, I think people will be blown away with what's ahead. Like, it's bigger than I ever thought it would be. But like you said, like, for the two of them to be running side by side, it is a huge stretch. It is a huge stretch, but we're making it happen and we're passionate about that. We're all about writing it down, making it happen. It's just, it's another level of planning, coordination, splitting yourself up, not burning out. And like I said, that piece is so important to me. I feel like I've been in a dark place before. I've burnt out before. I have awareness of those feelings. I have awareness of what it feels like to be coming up to that point. And I have awareness that I'm not there, but if I keep going a certain way, I could get there. So like the way you were saying, it's difficult sometimes to pull back from things. I do find it a lot easier to say no to things, because I know saying no to things is saying yes to myself and in turn, Charlotte. So it's about being crystal clear in your vision and cutting out anything that doesn't align, if that makes sense. And that's not always easy. I'm a recovering people pleaser as well. I want to say yes to everything and everyone, but you can't. You just can't do it.
It's impossible. I said no to something this morning that I was so against the grain for me.
Probably riddled with guilt, are you?
Not guilt, because I don't think I necessarily personally let anybody down, but it was to do like a media piece on radio. And I just kind of was like, it's too much. Like, not that the piece would have been too much. The piece would have been 7 minutes on a phone.
Yeah.
No, but it'd be fine. But it just didn't fit. I knew, I could feel the stress rising. Mm. I could feel the, how do I do this? And how do I do that? And what happens with that? And she's still here and I have to get her to the camp and I have to get her addressed to get in the car, to get over here, to press record with you. And it was like, it just doesn't fit right
and
now.
And people think it's a 7 minute phone call. Like, what's the issue?
Old me, 2 weeks ago me, would have gone, okay, I'm just going to like put Peppa Pig on and like give her a lollipop and like close the door. And desperately try and do it and sound professional and sound like I know what I'm doing and pray that everything's okay and come out being a complete sweaty, stressed mess at the end of it. And then late for everything else in the day. And it's the late for everything else in the day.
Yeah.
That just would stress spirals. Me out.
Your yeah. day just spirals. And like, funny, we were only, working on blog posts at the moment. Obviously I'm a qualified coach, as is Kieran, as is another member of our team, and we're really passionate about producing these bite-sized wellness articles every week. And we're actually working on one at the moment called Ritual Rewire. I talk about it a lot, but with back to school, like rewiring your evening ritual. And one thing that's so important that you touched on there is throughout the day, like, your day can spiral and next thing you're in bed and you're spending the last few minutes in bed thinking about how your day spiraled. That is seeping into your subconscious and you're bringing that into the next day unbeknownst to yourself. It's so important to just try and, like, that's why I'm so passionate about planning the day out and not running away. And that's why I'm not loving those Annika Rice moments when she's napping, because it is, that's what I'm saying, I feel it's just not an energy. I know you touched on energy there. It's not an energy I love. It's not an energy I love. And it's an energy that can seep into everything else in your life if you're not careful.
And even though it's not true, you feel like you're failing at everything. Yes. Because you feel that energy. Yeah. And that energy has no reflection on the actual reality of the situation, but because you feel it, you believe it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you found that you're leaning in more to what you have learned and educated yourself in terms of, you know, that coaching and everything that you bring forward into the head plan? Are you leaning on it more since she's been born?
I am. And that's a really good question. I am, but I have to be really honest and say, like, the fourth trimester does play tricks on you and does fill you with doubt. Like, I'm all about self-belief, but like, I did spend a lot of the fourth trimester like doubting, am I doing a good job, feeling guilty for not being in work. When I'm in work, feeling guilty I'm not with Lottie. The breastfeeding has been probably the most challenging thing, and I feel that's been like hugely challenging, especially around week seven. Like, I had a full-on emotional breakdown over it, and I had to introduce combi feeding. So I do like one or two bottles of formula a day now, and I'm still feeling so guilty over that. But I need to keep reminding myself and going back to that self-awareness piece that the head plan is all about, and the head plan's all about empowering you to transform your life and step into the best version of yourself on a daily basis. But I do every morning try and remind myself, like I said previously, all I have is the day ahead, and I just try and do a good job with what's in front of me, be it I'm here with Lottie. When I'm not with Lottie, I'm in work. And I do lean on the head plan, I suppose, is what I'm saying. But I also want to be really honest and not touch on that toxic positivity, toxic productivity even, and say, like, every day is not a great day, but there are great moments in every day. But I am finding it a challenge at the moment. Definitely at the moment. I feel like maybe in 2 months, if we had this conversation, when I'm a little bit more settled in my role, I'd probably be a little bit like, God, that was wild during 4 months. But this chapter is the second difficult chapter I've experienced. The first one was breastfeeding around that 7-8 week mark, when I had that emotional breakdown of guilt over it. And this chapter I'm in now is the most difficult one after that.
Sleep is essential to how our minds function.
Yeah.
And when sleep is taken, it's very easy for everything else to kind of unravel.
Yeah.
And I think when we live in a world where we're expected to always show up and we're expected to always be, you know, on and effective and using our day and using our time and going for our goals, which, like, I support, and I'm part of that tribe. Like, I am. But we forget that when those fundamental parts of life that we need are taken away from us for a season of our life.
Yes.
It's just a season, but for a season of our life where those fundamental things are taken away. Like, if we were talking about a marathon runner and we said, right, we're just going to take away their water. We're just going to take away their water. We're going to expect them now to still do it under 3 hours. And they're going to beat themselves up now if they don't get it done under 3 hours. And everybody's going to sit there and all the judges be like, oh no, they didn't. And everyone will write in the paper, oh Jesus, your man didn't get over the cross the line. He had his water taken away. We have our sleep taken away.
Yeah, it's so true. Like, I don't think I've slept. Sorry, I lie now, because I went away one night with work when she was around 7-8 weeks at that time. I went away to the UK. I had a really big pitch that I couldn't say no to. And I'm glad I went. My mom stayed here with Charlotte. And I slept like a baby should that night. But bar that one night, I don't think I've slept, I'd say 4 hours is the most I've had without being woken up. So, like, that's a lot in 4 months when you think about it. And that really does take its toll on you. And then equally, I feel as mothers, especially new mothers, this isn't all new to me, but when the baby sleeps, like, you should sleep when the baby sleeps. Like, absolutely doesn't happen. Like, who's going to do the washing? Like, who's going to prep the food? Who's going to do all the other things in the house that need to get done? And yeah, it's just a lot.
But
this
also,
a whole podcast on sleep deprivation.
But it's not even the jobs that need to get done in a challenge Annika mode. It's, I found I still had like this anxiety hangover. If she was asleep, that I would be anticipating
him
waking, or I would just, I'd sit down and be like, okay, now's your window to relax. And I just couldn't because I was still so mentally connected to them. Like, or I just want to not in a sleep safety way, because I know that can happen for some people. They get actually quite sleep safety anxious and they kind of want to be very present and watching the baby and stuff. But it, for me, it was kind of like I was just constantly listening out. Just very tuned in and turned on by, like, and I was like, come on, nap. Now's your time. Yeah. Just didn't work.
Yeah, I totally get it. And Ciarán, I have to say, is amazing. But I do all the night feeds, everything, because I'm obviously breastfeeding. Yeah. And
the boobs. They're useless nipples. Strike again.
Yeah, yeah. So it's different for men anyway. I don't like, Ciarán has been great in other ways, but even sometimes he says, God, I hope like he doesn't mind me giving, I'm not giving out about him, but like we're all friends here. Even sometimes when he says, you know, like I'll do a night feed if you want to express a bottle or something. I know he's not going to wake up the way I wake up when I know it's time for her to feed. I just don't think their instincts. No.
But it's because she was inside you.
Yeah.
You know, you grew her. You are biologically still super connected.
Yeah.
You know, like she doesn't think that she exists outside of you yet, you know, and they're just not made that way. And I remember in your stage when I was hitting a wall and we had chats around, okay, the night feeds and let's start sharing the load. And actually it didn't work at all.
No, you're gonna make anyway. That's what I'm saying.
Didn't work at all. And I settled in to kind of, I mentally coached myself on stop being so resentful for him sleeping.
Mm.
This is, I'm going to do this, because also I did actually feel kind of hormonally the baby slept while she woke. They also went back to sleep quicker.
Yeah.
And him pacing, I was like, you're just outside crying. I'm awake. Like she just wants my boob. Mm. And then she will just go back asleep again. But I could handle that, provided I'm like, but you need to own the morning.
Yes.
You and need Ciarán to take goes, over.
Ciarán takes her, if she wakes up between 6:30 and 7:30 and Ciarán takes her and I have an hour or two, like I can't, like morning ritual for me at the moment is just being with myself. So Ciarán does take her for 2 hours in the morning. I'm really lucky in that sense as well. That's my only kind of window at the moment.
But it's actually so replenishing just to be left alone. As soon as you're like, okay, my shift is over, even though it's like 6 a.m.
It does feel like that, doesn't it? Yeah, finish the night shift, 2 hour break, and then straight into your full day shift. What's your look?
The day shift.
Yeah.
There are glimmers. Okay. Yes. So we do talk about our, you know, what triggers us in motherhood a lot and what can deplete us. And we need to. We do need to, because the gloss ain't real. No. And we're all, especially first time motherhood, we're all incredibly like lonely in it as well, because we think, am I the first person in the world to have kind of gone through this challenge? And no, you're not. But the glimmer moments can often keep us going.
Yes.
After that IVF journey, what was it like when you finally saw that you were pregnant?
I still couldn't believe it. We didn't tell even family till we were 16 weeks. Like, so I think because we'd been through so much and had so many knockbacks, not just on our fertility journey, but just with Ciarán's health and everything.
I can understand that. You had your wedding and then straight away.
And Ciarán was doing his entrepreneur thing and everything was, we thought, amazing. But so on reflection now, we're really happy where we are, I might add. So it's funny.
I know, but in the moment, I think it's a really hard life lesson to unlearn.
Yeah.
That you can have your dream and your fantasy, like a wedding can be, like you can be in that moment.
And even the dream honeymoon, everything.
Yeah. And life can literally just take you up by the ankles and just go, sorry, back down.
Yeah.
Back down to earth. This happens. And I think it can be hard to shake that. And especially when you get the news of a pregnancy, if you've been carrying that experience, there can be a bit of like,
Yeah, and no, there was another part of it though. There was actually a positive side of keeping it to ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like IVF is such a, like, it can be quite an invasive medical experience, if you will. So it was nice for us, like our families knew that we were doing IVF at different times. So it was actually kind of nice to keep it to ourselves. Glimmers for us with Charlotte's pregnancy didn't really happen until we started telling people, I think. I don't think we really believed it. It was around Christmas when we started telling everyone as well. It was such a lovely time. And then we announced our pregnancy to wider circle, like friends and family and that. It was the week of Christmas. So it was just such a lovely time.
Yeah, telling people is when it can feel real, can't it? Because yeah, then it's very much out in the world. And it does. It takes a long time to find the kind of the security.
Yeah,
sink into it and to finally believe it and to kind of let it into your real world.
Yeah, and I absolutely loved nesting Sinead. I went wild.
So your corners were immaculate.
Yeah. So I went wild with the nesting and I'd never experienced such a maternal instinct like that before. You know, I actually struggled a little bit and I was in therapy and I spoke about this. I wondered why sometimes I used to see other mothers or mothers to be or people that want to be mothers skipping into the IVF clinic. And I was like, God, do I not really want this because I'm feeling dread going in here? So I did kind of worry about that maternal instinct kicking in, but it kind of did kick in the last trimester when I started nesting and getting the house ready for her. And it was wild, the things I did to the house. Got a new bathroom that was on my vision board for ages, started doing up her nursery, the cleaning, the dusting, the preparation. Like, it was such a mad, lovely, busy time at home, but I love that. So the glimmers started coming in after 16 weeks when we told family, but 20 weeks on, I loved the pregnancy. And I was really, really lucky in my pregnancy with Lottie that I could still go to work every day. I was still traveling with work up until about 32 weeks. And I got a bit tired the last 4 or 5 weeks, but it was great. Really lucky.
Section induction, vaginal emergency, at home, in hospital, or maybe even on the way. No matter how you birthed, no matter how it happened, no matter how long or quick, early or late, birthing your baby is a massive physical, emotional, mental, and hormonal stretch. And now is not the time to stop looking after you. Life as a new mother is intense, so while you focus on your baby's needs, make sure you have a support system around you and continue to take nutritional support. Pregnant Care New Mum was created to specifically support you after birth, with iron, B6 and B12 to help reduce tiredness and fatigue, and Biotin and zinc to help maintain normal hair and skin. And there is Pregnant Care Breastfeeding, a carefully balanced expert formula that brings together the key nutrients needed specifically for the breastfeeding period, with DHA, which supports normal brain and eye development in breastfed infants, plus calcium, vitamin K and D, and magnesium, which contribute to the maintenance of normal bones. With 50 years of innovation in nutritional science, Vitabiotics has been pushing boundaries to help our families feel at their best. With products to suit all stages from preconception, pregnancy, postpartum and family life, with Pregnant Care, Well Kid, Well Woman and Well Man, Vitabiotics has created a product to suit every stretch of family life. Vitabiotics want to look after you through their supplemental range and by supporting this season of Stretch Marks. Food supplements must not replace a varied and balanced diet and a healthy lifestyle, and you should always consult your doctor or pharmacist before using.
It was quite the day when she was born. Certainly not an expected, planned. It wasn't written down that way.
No, it wasn't. And I was actually in work that morning. So it was the 12th of April and I had an appointment to see my consultant, Sharon Cooley, who I absolutely love. God, I miss her so much. She'd nearly get pregnant again just to go in and see her. But I had an appointment that day. So I was in work that morning and I had a lunchtime appointment, went in. And as soon as Dr. Cooley put the scanner on my stomach, she kind of just went quiet, which was very unlike her. And she said, you know, have your waters broke? And I was like, sorry? She was like, your waters, have you been losing water? And I was like, no, I hadn't, as far as I knew, been losing any water, I might add. I don't know where it went. But I had a medical condition. Now, forgive me, I can't remember it. And it's nearly self-preservation. I don't look it up too much. Mm-hmm. But it's basically a medical condition where you lose all the water around the baby, and it's actually really dangerous. And it can be really dangerous if it's not picked up. Now, thank God it was picked up. But she had said, basically, look, we need to get the baby out today. We're going to need to do an emergency C-section. Go home and get your bag and come back in. And it was just, I was so emotional in the car, and I felt, you know, I didn't take any time for myself. Yeah. I've been trying to finish all these projects up in work. I'm not ready. Yeah, I was going on my faux maternity leave. That week I was finishing up to take 2 weeks to myself in the house, thinking, you know, she might be 2 weeks over. It's my first. And I always, after the IVF and everything, really kind of wanted, not that a C-section isn't natural, but I really wanted to experience the pain of labor. I know how weird that sounds, and I really wanted to experience all those things, something a little bit more natural and less medically, not even induced, but just more natural after everything. And that was kind of taken away. And then the guilt of, did I do something? Was I nesting too hard, working like a lunatic in the house, trying to get things finished? Did I cause this? But look, I went home, I had a shower, I Dysoned my hair, and I got in the zone, and I went back in. And I have to say, it was an amazing experience for an emergency C-section. I was in the zone. I felt really happy. I was focusing on the fact she was coming. She arrived at 7:30 that evening, and it was a wonderful experience, the C-section. Like, it really, really was. And I'm really glad the way the whole thing happened now. But like all our story, it was wild. Like, where would you get it? Like, nothing straightforward.
But there she was. She was out and she was safe. And
exactly. Like, out and safe. And that was the most important thing.
Did you feel that? Because sometimes when there is that interjection of trauma, like, and it is, it's a shock, and it can feel like, we like a plan, and we like to feel like we know what's happening with baby. And the moment anybody says anything to do with there's a problem, our responses kick in, like our fear and everything, like it all. It's hard to manage our natural responses to those moments. And when you then are in a, you know, an urgency section situation, and it's you're back in that medicalized zone. It's normal when baby arrives to still feel a bit like, what is going on? Like, what is happening? Am I this new person now?
Yeah.
Am I mother me now?
You know, I don't know what it's like not having a C-section, but like a C-section is wild, because like it's a full on surgery, and then there's a baby in a room beside you. Like, it was 7:30. So Kieran was only there. Thank God they let him stay till about 11:30, which was beyond visiting hours, I might add. But like at 11:30, Kieran went home, and I was in a room with this baby. And only a few hours ago, I was Dysoning my hair, getting ready to go in for emergency C-section, and you can't move. Like, you're still paralyzed. I still had an epidural going on. It's crazy.
Scary.
Yeah, it is scary, but I don't know, Sinead, if it's just resilience I've built up over time, but I don't look at that time as traumatic. The one thing that did follow me for a few weeks and definitely kicked in around the 7-8 week around the breastfeeding, it was all the same kind of thing, interconnected. I definitely felt guilt, like, was she born that way because of me? Obviously the fluid around her, like, she wasn't able to feed correctly when she was in me. So I put this huge pressure on the breastfeeding
to build her up.
Yeah. And she was so small. So the pressure, the alarms, making sure she's fed every 2.5-3 hours, the I need to do this, was an awful lot. And that was a result of the C-section, I think.
It's you wanting to give her what you thought you weren't.
Yeah, exactly.
In utero. It's you overcompensating now, putting that over pressure on yourself now. And exactly. It makes sense to me because I saw like a, and I know what people share is a minute of life, but I remember seeing maybe something around kind of you being so delighted when she was hitting different weight milestones.
Yeah.
And there is, listen, there's nothing more terrifying than the public health nurse coming with the weight scales when you're a breastfeeding mother and they put the baby on and it's not meeting birth weight. And you do, you have this severe guilt that floods in of like, I'm not doing enough and I'm not pumping enough or I'm not feeding enough or I have to increase supply.
Yeah.
And it can be really emotionally wearing.
Yeah, absolutely. And particularly around that 7-week mark, I know I keep touching on it, but that was a pivotal time in my motherhood. I knew I had this big pitch in the UK and I was setting my alarm. She was sleeping through one of her feeds. So I was setting my alarm for that feed, like I think about 3:30, and I was going downstairs to pump to freeze. And I wasn't one of those people, like you see people online, like this shiny version of motherhood where they open their freezer and it's full of like pumped milk in these bags. I'm like, how are people doing this? Like, I just about have enough for her. Like, I couldn't comprehend it. Like, how are people pumping freezers full of milk? Like, it really triggered me. So I was getting up. I knew I had that pitch about 2 weeks before. It took me about 10 days to pump enough milk to feel comfortable to leave her.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, like
absolutely.
So yeah, that was definitely that was probably the most traumatic thing for me. But maybe you're right, maybe it's connected to the C-section and it was just delayed.
But also, like, I think at 7 weeks I was just about getting a shower and putting leggings on.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to the UK to do a big massive pitch. Yeah. Like, I think you need to give yourself grace around this time because it's a lot to handle. It's a lot when, and look, I get it. I would have been on that plane doing that pitch, making that dream happen for your business.
Yeah.
When it collides with, I'm a new breastfeeding mother 7 weeks in after an IVF journey, after that birth journey with no sleep and this immense pressure I'm putting on my body to replenish this baby and make it grow.
Yeah.
That, like, how you responded in that seven week moment by feeling those emotions, they are very natural, normal reactions to everything that was happening. There's no way I could imagine anybody else having experienced that week in any other way.
No.
Given what you were going through.
It's so true. And I don't want to be, I feel like we're all on different journeys, but like, even like sometimes when I'm talking to Ciarán, I'm like, I can't believe the last 5 years, even, like, life has changed so much since that day in 2019. Ciarán got sick. Ciarán was recovering, went into COVID. Ciarán was immunocompromised during COVID. Put IVF on hold, started IVF in 21, still doing IVF in 22, like, fall pregnant in 22, 23, she's here. Like, it's, and then the business as well. So it's a lot. It is a lot.
It's a lot. It's a lot. And maybe if you were in a different type of business, it would be too much. Yeah. Maybe the nature of the business.
Yeah, it suits.
It suits. And that's why I asked, are you leaning on it more in a personal capacity because of everything that's going on, which has been so wild?
Yeah, absolutely. And like when I look back at previous jobs, like in the hustle and being at your desk before everyone else and staying the latest, you know, like wearing like a badge of honor, that absolutely wouldn't have stopped if Ciarán didn't get sick for either of us, because Ciarán's illness was a wake up call for both of us to lean into wellness. So I'm so grateful for that, and I absolutely am carrying that into motherhood.
It's funny how life can interrupt what we thought was safe.
Yeah.
And listen, it is a storm. It is a storm when life interrupts you in the ways that it has for you and Ciarán. And I wouldn't wish that storm to arrive at anyone's door. But it can break what you thought was your route and your path and your safety and your stuckness and make it seem actually so wrong.
Yeah, that was so wrong, the path we were on. So wrong. And sometimes I do miss that girl back then, like to touch on the do you feel like yourself again? Like I definitely transitioned from a different version of myself then as well. But I do know what I miss. I miss being anxious about things that weren't real. Now I get I always had really bad anxiety around health, but now it's another level, obviously. And even with Charlotte, like, God, what if something happened to one of us? Like, we're so, like, things can change in a second with health. So, like, I'm definitely like a heightened, I'm very vigilant on health things, and that's definitely exasperated over the last few years. But, like, Sinead, do you know it's funny? Well, not funny, but like I actually don't realize how much we've been through or what we've done sometimes until I actually talk to someone like you and I'm like, actually, hold on a minute that you say it.
Is it any wonder I had a crash at 7 weeks?
Is it
any wonder?
And I definitely, there was another crash as well that I never really talk about because I kept our IVF so private, but it wasn't last Christmas. It was the Christmas before. And I actually came offline for about 2 or 3 weeks. Really difficult time. IVF wasn't working out the way it was supposed to. The business was really busy. And, you know, obviously we're all about wellness and looking after ourselves. I just really needed to look after myself and pull back. But yeah, it's been a lot.
For those that are in this zone and don't have the benefit of the learning and the experience over the last few years of everything that you do, and I don't mean from a running a business perspective, but actually the, you know, the content of your business, the messaging of your business, the lessons that you've learned and you exercise daily within your business. For those that are in this and they do feel like they're spiraling, they do feel like they're off plan. They do feel joy and they love their baby, but motherhood can really unravel you and it can unanchor you.
Yeah.
Have you found anything support, like any practices that really have actually helped in those moments where you're like, okay, it's a shitstorm, like it is.
Yeah.
But if I can just do these two things.
Yeah.
I can bring myself back.
There is two things that I do, and I know I'm very fortunate, but that morning time when Ciarán takes Charlotte, I don't think I could survive without that. I know how like strong that can sound, but I'm deadly serious. And I know that I'm really lucky that I have Ciarán to do that. Not everyone's that lucky, but that is one thing that really works for me because I give so much of myself and so much of my energy to the business, to the people I connect with, and equally now the most energy to Charlotte, that if I don't have that time to give myself a little bit of energy and show off myself in some way, even if it's a quick pep talk in the mirror with some affirmations, like even if it's a sharer, which by the way is an absolute like serious time out now, habit stack in your shower, and when you're in your shower, like just deep breathe. But if I didn't have that time, like I'm not sure how my day would go. So that's the first thing I'd say. And the second thing I'd say is, just on the first thing, just being realistic, like I was very passionate about morning rituals before Charlotte was born, very much into my journaling in the morning, my meditation, my affirmations, you know, go for a little walk, read a few pages. Like if I got any of those things, that would be a luxury. So do not put pressure on yourself to...
How does that type of content make you feel now? Because obviously, like, there's so much out there. These are my morning rituals. And I get up at 4:30 and I climb a mountain and I sit for the sunrise. Yeah. And then I do my journals and then I do my sea swim. And yeah. I'm just like, I remember those breastfeeding days. You wake up like the Sahara.
I never thought I'd give up my morning ritual. And that's difficult. Yeah. That's difficult. But
let go.
I'm reminding myself that it's a season, because as wild as other people's morning rituals seem to other people, they work for those people. Mm-hmm. And that morning ritual did work for me, but it doesn't work for my life at this moment in time. But just on that first thing that I do when Kieran takes her, I just do one tiny thing for myself. Like I said, even if it's in the shower and I'm meditating in the shower, be it mindful breathing, I just do one thing to help myself. Another thing that I do that I absolutely can't live without is, obviously I do still journal every day. I can't live without it. But Sunday in particular is like my reflection on the week gone, like what worked, what didn't work. And it could be around childcare, could be around anything to do with Lottie, could be around work, could be around inability to do something. And I try and learn every week and apply those learnings to the week going forward. And then I plan for the week ahead. But this time it's planning in a different sense, like what appointments have I got on? What podcasts am I recording? When do I need my mom? If my mom's not around, is there someone else to help me? Can Kieran move a meeting? And can Kieran step in? Like there's a lot there. But that planning session on a Sunday, I feel so calm going to bed on a Sunday night. And I feel like that is a game changer for anyone. And I feel like everyone could have time for that on a Sunday night. And it's about owning your week ahead. And everything doesn't go to plan, as we know, with a baby. But it's the intention. It's having that intention and having
it out of your head.
Yeah.
Like I find, like, so I'm not in a great physical health space, and I'm attributing not all of it, because obviously, look, bugs exist. People get sick. It's normal. But I have definitely the last few months, my brain, my work and parenting brain over the summer months, which Instagram tells us should be this glorious, you know, time of running on beaches in slow motion. Is actually like living Tetris.
Yeah.
My brain has been like a Tetris, where that when I get to the end of the week or the end of the line of Tetris with everything lined up, the only reward is everything comes even faster and quicker.
Yeah, that's so true.
And you're constantly, and it's I forget, hands up, like I will have so many journals and I will do it for like a week and I forget. And then I spend 6 weeks with my head managing everything. And then I burn out and I'm like, what happened? Why?
Now, do you plan your week ahead?
I don't always put it on paper.
Yeah, that's wild to me.
I know. It's wild to me. It's wild, like I put it in my, I might put it, and this is the thing, there's like, There might be a digital diary. There might be then a phone diary. There might be something written down on a piece of paper because I was on a call with somebody and they mentioned it. And I know it. I know that how busy my brain is contributes immensely to how I feel and behave and experience my week.
Mm.
And it is a habit. Mm. It is a habit that I'm getting back into, and I can almost feel like if you have like a pain, it's like it diminishes every time I just put something down on paper. Mm. It just shrinks.
You know, like we can be addicted to the chaos.
Yeah, I probably am. It's years in me. This is the thing.
And you can recondition yourself. And I do think there's actually, not to plug, but there's actually a free download on the Headplan website of like own your most productive week kind of thing. So like definitely download it and try it. But it's about, like I said, being clear in your vision, being able to say no to anything that doesn't make sense to that vision, be it being a good mom, business goals, different goals that you have. And it's about planning out to the best of your ability, your time, and making it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a game changer.
Breaking free of the firefighting.
Yeah. But like, if you don't have a plan, you're just going to wake up and be part of someone else's plan.
Yeah, my children's. my 6-year-old's being like, you tell me we're going to the playground. I'm like, mommy has to work.
Oh.
Mommy has to work. No, but look, you're so right. And it can, where I struggle, being completely transparent, where I struggle is with it feeling like another thing to do.
Mm.
Like it can feel like another job to squeeze in. And then I feel guilty for not finding the time to do the things that I know I should do. So then that becomes a burden. So then I release the burden by going, well, just don't even think about the things that you should do that you're not doing. And then we go forward in our week and our next week. And like, it's all busy. The business is doing really well. The podcasts are doing really well. My kids are like watered and fed and happy. Everything's getting done. But there is a cost.
Mm.
And I forget it until I'm unwell. And then I'm like, oh, yeah. Because it's like it's like a machine that has literally too many tabs open. And it's just whirling and whizzing. And it's just, even here, when we started this, we had an issue a couple of times with Zoom. Yeah. We shut down everything that was open on the machine. It's been absolutely fine.
Yeah.
You know, we just.
And I was even like, let me make sure I have all my tabs closed.
Yeah. We that's what I need to do. And I really think, and I said this to you on a voice note yesterday, I feel like the stars aligned for when this conversation would happen, not just because I really think that you as a guest would have such an incredible story to share, but me as a person needed to remind myself of the lessons and the learnings that you share in your business and that you live by. In order for me to recalibrate,
and
get myself back feeling like,
or get yourself forward.
We're not going back.
Yeah,
but get myself strong. Like it's all part of it. Like you know. So, if anybody's listening to this in a year's time, I've just had pneumonia. So like, I'm on wonderful antibiotics that are doing their job. But there's other jobs that also need to be always brought in. And that's the headpiece.
Yeah, like it's not just up to the antibiotics to make you
know. No. And it's my head that often, when my head has been too busy, that's when my body does something that says, no, we have to stop.
Like, and not to get too deep, but I suppose it's a question to ask people, like maybe someone's listening to this in their ears and they're like, I don't have time to plan. Like maybe, like, do you feel like you deserve to be calm in the chaos? Like there's a self-belief piece in there. Like, maybe you're like, oh, this is just my life. It's just chaotic. Like control the controllables. You know, it's so hard to control in motherhood, and I mean control in a healthy way, but it's so hard to control your time and your day. But there is, like everything doesn't work out like that row of Tetris you're talking about, but things can, like fit around different things. And if it's all starts with a plan on a Sunday night, even for the week ahead, I think it's a game changer.
It's a game changer, and a shared plan is even more of a game changer. Sometimes carrying the weight of what has to happen when can be enough to make you snap. And look, I'm not saying you're going to get pneumonia from it, but definitely I think fights can happen because of it.
100%. Even like, again, we're all friends here. Even today, Sinead, obviously I have my mom coming over, but like, Kieran doesn't really need to think about who's going to mind Charlotte, because he knows that I think about that, you know, and that can be a bit frustrating at times because we're in the same business as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the plan on a Sunday night definitely helps.
Plan a Sunday night, articulated, shared, distributed, delegated.
Absolutely. And show up for yourself in some way in the day. Maybe you don't have that luxury of the window in the morning that I have, but maybe it is the luxury of even a shower for yourself, but habit stacking in the shower. So just really enjoying that time in the shower. Like, who would have thought? I'm obsessed with showers now, and that time out for myself. I'm so glad I got the bathroom done because I knew it was going to happen. But those times are your time. And like you said, Sinead, I love that you said that. It's a season.
It's a season.
And it's reminding yourself that it's a season.
And there will be another, like, new seasons that keep coming.
Yeah.
And some seasons, like, you know, autumn have horrible rainy days, but they do have like gorgeous, crisp orange trees. You know, January can be miserable, but it can also be super cozy. Like, every season has its faults.
Yeah.
But it can also have its really good points too. And you'll miss the one before, but you look forward to the one coming. And it goes, like, such a cliche, but like, it does. It just goes by. Yeah. And I think not to treasure every moment, not to enjoy every moment. But what I wish I had done from day one is to try and not have lost myself so much. And I think in the work that you do, in the planning and the being able to see it, I would have been able to see that there was no space.
Yeah.
You know, or like in my head now, I'm kind of visual. Like, I could see, like, if I was to put it all down when I was kind of 4 months postpartum, when I was you, or actually more so on my second, I was probably much better to myself on my first because it was in like normal maternity leave time. But I was starting a business when I was on mat leave with my second. So it was work when the baby sleeps and parent when the baby's awake all the time. And if I had, like, you know, color coded that plan on a wall, you could have seen, like, well, where is time together, time for me, time for sleep, time for exercise, time for, you know, I think it's so important to visualize it, because when you're in it, you're doing your best. You're just doing your best, but you're burning out in your best.
Yeah.
And look, we don't all have the village.
Your best is for other people as well. It's about being really, like, being your best for who, do you know?
Like, so since I shared last week that I had been sick, the amount of messages, and this is why, like, I wanted to talk to you, like, the amount of messages I've received from women who have contacted me to say that, you know, they are in hospital with something and they have like 18-week-old twins at home, and the guilt, and they're so upset. Or, you know, there's been so many instances of, and look, illness happens. But I think in motherhood, in these, you know, in, it's very easy to energetically burn out, and we can confuse selfishness for actually self-preservation. And I think it's really okay to be like, no, I need this for self-preservation, because everyone needs us well.
Yeah.
So I think
you're so right. Even that Annika Rice moment when she naps, like, maybe I just need to chill. Like, when do I rest? I don't really. Do you know? I'm filling my naps with being productive and trying to get my things done.
Which can really work for a space of time.
Yeah, for a space of time. Exactly. Exactly. But it's about being aware, like I said, that, you know, if I keep going on like this, I will burn out, you know.
And it's having that awareness, you know, it is having that awareness. And, you know, I'm sure even Annika takes the shell suit off, you know, sometimes.
I hope everyone knows who Annika Rice is. That's
listening. I just
showing like, her age. Like, I used to love that.
So did I. I was obsessed with it. I think that's probably what propelled our,
yeah,
our
maybe,
generation maybe. Of women.
Go. Where's the clues to get through life? Yeah.
I think actually Annika owes us a bit in therapy.
Yeah.
You know,
for the
portrayal of just adrenaline. But yeah. Look, she was such an idol. But I live by it too often. I live by it too often. And I think, oh, I can just feel myself doing that plan. And I can already actually feel like the cortisol.
Challenge
lower.
Anyone listening to this to do a plan on a Sunday night and not feel good about it. Mm-hmm.
It's a good challenge. Mm. Thank you.
Thank you
for making this work, honestly. Like, I know what it takes. I know what it takes to just carve out an hour, and I really appreciate it. I have loved this conversation. You've just been, I've wanted to talk to you for so long, because honestly, I think with each stage and phase, I've admired in the background, just being like, look at her go, look at her face, everything that has been happening and going on. And look, I'm not going to pretend that it's been easy for you. Like, we all, like, it's not, like, as much mental resilience as you can, none of it's easy. But I've been proud in the background, and you've been
so kind.
Honestly, though, you've inspired so many, and you're dedicating yourself to helping so many. And that's something to really be admired. So don't burn out, because we need you to keep going.
Thanks, Sinead. Thank you so much. And, you know, I'd love to have a chat with you in a few months, because I do feel in that 4-month fog. And for anyone else that feels like they're in it, like, you're not alone. There's like, we're all feeling it. So I love what you do. I love what you do in this pod. I love that you normalize the darkness and the brightness of motherhood. And yeah, just thanks so much for having me.
It's been absolute joy. Thank you for listening. Didn't I say that this could be a whole series? I took so much from this conversation with Denise, and I hope you did too. I've left a link for you to the free head plan PDFs in the show notes. And as always, I'd love to hear your feedback. So get in touch on Stretch Marks Podcast and with my guest at Denise Kenny Byrne on Instagram. And I will talk to you again next week.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.